This is Representative Mark Olson, called the Local Government Committee to order for March 16th. It's 5:15. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. We have six bills on the agenda. And I have the minutes from March 13th before us. Representative Markford.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to approve the March 13th minutes.
Representative Markford moves to approve the March 13th minutes. Discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Markford motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Thank you, Representative Markford, members. The first bill on the agenda is Representative Coles, House File 3263. Welcome to the committee. Representative Coles, did you have somebody to move your bill? Or is that what you were trying to talk to me about on the floor?
Anybody who's willing to do it, I would be eternally grateful.
Representative Holberg moves that... Are you going right to the floor here?
Yes.
Yeah. Representative Holberg moves that House File 3263 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Representative Coles, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. If we could, Mr. Chair, I was hoping we could move the DE-1 amendment to get it in the shape that I'd like to discuss.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the DE-1 amendment.
Representative Holberg moves the DE-1 amendment to House File 3263. I apologize, I didn't dig quick here. And to get it in the order the author would like it. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3263 would allow Carver County to change its current structure and change the auditor, treasurer, and recorder offices, which are currently elected, and allow the county to appoint those offices. I have with me Mr. Dave Hemsey, the Carver County Administrator. Members, I'd let you know that the Carver County Board recently passed a resolution unanimously supporting this. The current elected officials support this. The County Board, at the request of myself and Senator Ortman, held public hearings over the course of the last 6 months, or actually the last probably 2 months. Held five hearings throughout the county. The vast majority of people who showed up at those hearings to talk about and to this issue are in support of the reorganization the county is seeking to do. Carver County is the only county in the metropolitan area that does not have its treasurer, auditor, and recorder appointed. And 24 counties in Minnesota have come to the legislature seeking special legislation for this purpose. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd like Mr. Hemsey to say a few words, unless there are questions before that.
That's fine. Mr. Hemsey, welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record, please, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm David Hemsey, the Carver County Administrator. I would just add that the provisions in the bill are the same provisions that have been included in all other successful legislation of this nature. So that it would require the county board to adopt it ultimately on a supermajority vote, which would be four to five of its members. It provides the citizens the opportunity for a reverse referendum for petition, and it allows the current elected office holders to continue to the end of their terms, which would be the end of this year. And I'd answer any questions if you have them.
Representative,
Mr. Chair, one other thing, just for so members know, this bill was passed today off of the floor of the Senate. There was an amendment on the Senate floor to add Renville County. We're trying to figure out what's happening with that and whether I'm going to work with Representative Coonan or not. And you know, this bill will could potentially attract that. But right now, it's my understanding that Renville County is not looking to use this bill any longer as a vehicle. If they have a proposal, I think they'll be back here in front of your committee.
Thank you. Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Coles, just for a fun fact, is this the county treasurer that enjoyed golfing?
Representative Coles, Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, I'm not sure what his handicap is, but he apparently does enjoy golfing, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Holberg. Okay.
That's it.
Other discussion? Representative Hodge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Coles, you know, this legislation makes sense. My only question is, why haven't we just moved it into statute that this would be a regular occurrence, that a four-fifths vote would be needed instead of coming? I think this is the 12th time since 2001 we've done this.
Representative Coles, Mr. Chair, Representative Hodge, I don't know a good answer to that, although Representative Howes told me that I believe he's got a bill in front of this committee maybe tomorrow that would do that, would create a statewide policy going forward. I know that Representative Olson has looked at this issue in the past. You know, does it make sense to have local jurisdictions coming here hat in hand to change the structure, particularly for these offices that are largely professional, non-policy type making positions? So I think that you probably have that discussion tomorrow with Representative Howes and possibly with the chair at some point in the future.
Representative Hodge, it's eminent domain, annexation, and then this.
Well, Mr. Chair, since I won't be here tomorrow, I hope the committee takes this up and votes affirmatively. So we're not doing this constantly, especially with these short sessions.
All right. Representative Markler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Representative Coles talking to me about this before I have to oppose it. And the reason why is, well, my county, Traverse County, approached me with this a couple of years ago, combining treasurer and auditor, and I said I wouldn't carry the bill because I think any time you're taking away an elected position, you should have the voters vote for that type of thing to disenfranchise themselves. And then they did put it up to the voters, and it was defeated 3-1. And I still would like to see this just be a referendum. I'm old-fashioned when it comes to this, and granted, some of those elected positions, especially probably even more in smaller counties, probably could or should be combined. I'm not arguing with the merits of that at all, but just anytime you reduce an elected position, I think the people should get a chance at some referendum. And I know there's a reverse referendum on this, but I'd just soon see an election. And I just think if you're going to take away elected positions, you should have the voters say so.
Nice to know, Representative Mark, but there's another old-fashioned member on this committee. Further discussion? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File
3263,
as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
Representative Holberg renews her motion. Seeing no further discussion? All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails. The bill is passed and be as amended and be sent to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Coles and Mr. Hensy.
Thank you.
Next bill, Representative Abler, House File 3289. Is Representative Abler in the room? Okay. Representative Howes will be flexible. House File 3017.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Sharon moves House File 3017. I understand this goes to the Tax Committee?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Sharon moves that House File 3017 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Tax Committee. Representative Howes, welcome to the committee. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, what this bill does will allow a joint powers agreement between townships. In a sense, you could say it forces them, if 66% of the township wants to do, township association joint powers want to do this, it will allow them to do it. I want to point out right now that the counties have the authority to do this, to create an ambulance taxing district. My county just wishes not to. They would rather the state just says, let these districts handle this on their own without the county interfering. We also raised the amount that they can raise from the cap. We raised that from $250,000 to $400,000. The reason is I have a district right now that's in great financial trouble, and we're having difficulty even continuing an ambulance service. And at the cap rate of $250,000, our lowest bid right now is $270,000. So there is some argument as to who's going to pay, how are we going to pay for it. And last Tuesday, in Woodrow Township in Cass County, a township officer that had been there for 20 years and opposed this idea was voted out of office because the people in my district, the people of Woodrow Township, almost unanimously want this to happen. With that, I will turn it over to O.J. Doyle, who's here and knows a lot about ambulance services. And while this pertains to more than just my district, I think it's most important in my district and other districts in northern Minnesota because it takes 55 minutes sometimes to get to the person, and then from that point, over an hour to get to the hospital. We can't have these people underfunded. We need this service.
Thank you, Representative Howes. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Dahl, state your name for the record, please, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is O.J. Doyle. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Ambulance Association. I have some handouts. If we could get somebody... thank you. Which will give you a little more detail on this. I don't want to take up too much of the committee's time. About 6 years ago, the legislature allowed for the creation of special taxing districts specifically targeted to emergency medical services. This is being used or is available as a tool to help supplement sources of revenue to help keep ambulance services primarily in the rural or less populated areas of the state. As a result of some ill-advised, I guess is the nice way to put it, policies enacted by Congress dealing with Medicare reimbursement, the ambulance industry in Minnesota is losing $72 million per year. And it's causing quite a financial crunch for small and large services alike. What the taxing district does is it allows for another tool for raising dollars to help supplement the operating costs for ambulance services. The bill does a couple of different things. As Representative Howes stated, it increases the cap of money that can be raised. It also removes the sunset dates. We've been back here twice now to extend the sunset on this legislation. What I'm hearing from my rural providers is they think this is a valuable tool. However, they're reluctant to extend the time and effort to set up a taxing district only to have it expire within 2 years. So we'd like to eliminate the sunset. And the rest of it, really, as you can see with the handout, there shouldn't be too much controversy with. Now, there is one part of this initiative which is controversial, and that is how to compel some local units of government who are receiving the ambulance service but are not interested or unwilling to join the taxing district. In some cases, you may have 15 townships within the ambulance service area, and 13 would like to set up the taxing district, but two don't. And so they're getting essentially a free ride and having someone else pay for the service. We feel this is unfair, but historically we've had no means of compelling them to participate. So the language you see in this legislation, Representative Howes' bill, was a first stab at how to set a majority to compel the non-compliant townships to participate. The Townships Association, I don't want to speak for them, but they have some concerns about this. We're sensitive to that. We've been working with them on trying to identify some language of fix that is mutually satisfactory, and we're hoping to be able to do that in the tax committee. We would very much appreciate your support, and if there are any questions.
Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if the townships are going to testify or not.
Representative Anderson, they're on the list. But okay, questions for Mr. Doyle?
One question I have. We'll take all the testimony and then we'll go to more questions. I actually have one, but Representative Cornish.
What was it, Mr. Chair, members, what was the tax ability we gave that area last year or year before, something to do with a levy or a regional jail or something? Didn't you have a bill before for a levy or something for a...
Representative Haas.
Cornish. In spite of the rumors, I have never offered a bill to raise taxes, nor have I ever voted for my citizens.
No, not raise taxes.
Okay. I thought there was a reason.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
Just kidding, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Sulem.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ken Sulem with the Minnesota Association of Townships. I know I'm here a lot, but I don't think I've been promoted to one of your seats quite yet. Thank you for this opportunity to address the committee on this bill. And we have been talking with Representative Howells and with Mr. Doyle about our issues. Primarily, one thing to point out is that this bill does apply to everybody. It's not just on townships. It's just the particular scenario that led to Representative Howells' interest and involvement involved a group coalition of, I believe it's 13 townships, 2 cities, and 2 unorganized territories, and there's some disagreement as to who should be the service provider. By all means, we want our members paying their fair share for services, and the letters we've been receiving from our members on this issue say that they are certainly willing to pay. The issue becomes, how do you get the structure and concern about setting a precedent that, for example, in this district that's the prime example right now, one township is very, very close to controlling the two-thirds tax base if you use market value. And so we just want to make sure that before this bill reaches the floor, some of these issues have been addressed to make sure, are we using the proper value? Is it tax capacity? Is it market value? Is it two-thirds? Is it 75%? The other provision is that there is no way to get out of this district once it's set up. And so we're not asking for this bill to be held up. We believe that these are issues to be resolved in taxes. But we do appreciate Representative House's commitment and Mr. Doyle's commitment to work with us.
Questions for the testifiers? A question that I have, and forgive me if this was identified in your testimony because I was consulting with staff, had to consult with staff through part of it. I'm curious about how, and this you'll probably hear this more in tax committee, but I'm still curious about how this relates to hospital district setup. In my district, I know they take care of the ambulance service, and is this only to be used when there isn't a hospital district? Are we creating a second layer in areas where there's already a hospital district?
Mr. Chairman, it's unique. It's interesting you would ask that question. I am working on getting a hospital for Cass County, and my county commissioners don't want anything to do with creating a hospital district. They also, like I said before in my testimony, have the authority to tax this ambulance district now. They just don't want to be the parents overlooking the siblings being the townships. They want the state to do this. They think it's our role to do that. It's not my intent in passing this bill that it fades into a hospital district or combines with one. My sole purpose is to fix this so we have our ambulance districts properly funded and they run smoothly. I've witnessed 2 people die because they didn't get to the hospital quick enough. I don't want to do that anymore. I think it's time that we do something, and if it has to be done at the state level, then so be it. Here's a mandate I'm going to support.
Mr.
Doyle.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, not all hospitals provide ambulance service, of course, within an area. So this would be an option for the local units of government to form a taxing district that could be used to support an ambulance service in there if it's not hospital-based. I would assume that it would overlap the hospital taxing district, but I think that there'd be a separation of the two. I know that I was involved several years ago. I was contacted by a hospital district asking if they could levy to purchase an ambulance for the ambulance service, which they had the license to run, and they have done that. But I don't think it's very widespread, that usage.
I'll just identify my concern, Representative Hollis. I wouldn't want this proposed statute, if you will, to come in conflict with current statutes regarding hospital districts. I do not have any reason to believe they do, but I would want to make sure they don't, and it's really a tax committee issue. Mr. Dar?
Mr. Chairman, this is already in law, so I think that if the conflict were there, that it may have manifested by now.
I would think so. I'm only identifying the concern to make certain it doesn't.
I appreciate it.
Procedurally, when they're looking at both alternatives, I would think it has manifested itself by now as well. But I just, if it had, you probably know about it. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sewell, have you had contact with the boards, the township boards, people that are going to be affected by this particular law, if it goes into effect? And if so, what's the reaction?
Mr. Sewell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, yes, we've heard directly from some of the townships, as well as our district director, whose area covers Representative Houses District as well, has been in fairly constant contact with me. I did, when this bill was introduced, I did send it to him and ask for input and comment. And the reaction has been, as you can expect, mixed. There's concern of those who have not yet voted to be part of the district being discussed up in Representative Houses area are concerned about being forced to join a district that they have no say in the creation of, and that is the concern I raise, that potentially, you know, if you start basing things solely on market value without other safeguards, the minority could be at, or the majority of the communities could potentially be held hostage by the minority, but the minority controls the money. And so we are trying to fix that. However, the main issue of dispute has been who is the service provider, who should receive the contract. What I'm hearing from the townships up there is that they're willing to pay, they're willing to have a service, they're just in disagreement as to who should be awarded the contract. And that's what's holding up the district. And there, and a lot of that, I believe, is personalities, quite frankly.
Mr. Dar.
Mr. Chairman, the determining the service provider is not within the purview of this legislation. That's determined under 144E, under licenses issued by the EMS Regulatory Board. So regardless of any decisions as to the funding, raising revenue, it would have no impact on who the ambulance provider is. That's already established under a separate section of the law. Every ambulance license in the state is part of their license, has a specific geographic description of the area covered. So that wouldn't be affected at all under this legislation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I wouldn't want to be in those people's shoes myself with this thing coming at them, but because it looks like, to me, it looks like they got a gun to their head with by putting this thing coming forward. But I'm hoping that if we get to the tax committee, that Representative Abrams and the tax committee and Representative Krenke and those people over there can straighten something out, because this is not, to me, I wouldn't want this coming at me as a township supervisor. But to me, the personality's got to be resolved there, or whatever the case may be, as far as who's going to service what and who's going to be the provider. I think I'd get that done before this came down the line. That's a comment.
Mr. Sulem.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, and I think that's exactly this, you know, like we're getting these same messages, and that's why we hope that we can create the safeguards in the tax committee so we won't have to oppose this legislation, because it is true that these services need funding, they need money, and we don't want to create a situation where somebody is not has no incentive to even be part of the discussion just because they're allowed to get a free ride. That doesn't serve anybody's interest well, and that's why we're not asking for this bill to be held up at this time, because we do think it's something that those with better tax minds than I have can help us with
in committee and figuring out the proper thresholds and maybe make references back to the statute Mr. Doyle referenced to clarify that even if you create a district, that doesn't mean you're assigning it to a particular service provider, which the information I'm getting, that which may be different than what these gentlemen have received, but the information I'm hearing from our townships up there is that the main fight is who gets the contract, not how do we pay for the contract.
Representative House.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, and I apologize for taking a little bit more of your precious time, but the bottom line in my district, and Senator Murphy was carrying that in the Senate, he passed it today on the taxes, and his issues are a little bit different than mine, but the same concerns. But the bottom line is, it's a political war in my district. They all want to pay for it. Even a township that doesn't want to be part of it is paying for it. They've all agreed to pay for it. Their problem is, who do we hire? And I'll even go a step further. It's an argument between different township chairmen, and one is a district president, and the other is a former district president, and they just ran against each other last year, and the former one is chair of the Joint Powers Board, and this is a political battle, and the county does not want to get involved. And I said, fine, I'll get involved, I'll do this, you guys got to figure it out. You got to grow up, act like adults, and take care of business.
Further discussion? See none. Representative Sharon renews his motion. Excuse me. Representative Sharon renews his motion to recommend that House File 3017 pass and be re-referred to the Tax Committee. Any further discussion? All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The bill will be passed and be sent to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you very much.
We'll go back to the Abler bill.
Yes, go to the end of the line.
They got me.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Charon. Representative.
Charon.
Representative Peters.
Could I have the privilege of making this motion for the bill? The reason I'm telling it in that way is that several weeks ago, as a case of endearment, I sent an email to Representative Abler, and I said, from now on, I'm going to call you the Admiral. And so I see him in the hallway, and I say, hi, Admiral. And very night, he's coming with a port authority. So I thought, I have the great privilege of being able to move that. So if I may, I would like to move House File 3289, and it will move to
the Tax Committee.
Tax Committee.
Thank you. We're putting a load on the Tax Committee tonight. Representative Peterson moves that House File 3289 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Tax Committee. Representative,
thank you,
Admiral Abler.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, Captain Olson. I appreciate your courtesy here. This is a bill about the Port Authority, and just to save any more time, I'll turn it over to my witness who will describe it in detail for you. And I appreciate your attention and your support. Thank you.
Chairman Olson,
welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Olson, members of the committee. I'm Jim Norman, City Administrator in Ramsey. I'll be brief. The project here before has to do with the Port Authority, piece of special legislation. The City of Ramsey is embarking on a very exciting master planned transit-oriented development called the Ramsey Town Center. The project is a 370-acre master-planned mixed-use project right along the North Shore Rail Authority. It will have approximately somewhere between 2,800 to 3,000 housing units within a walking distance to the proposed station. There will be over 775,000 square feet of commercial, retail, and office uses in this. But most importantly, it will be a transit-oriented development with some densities, and it's a very exciting place for work, for employment, for living, and places to experience entertainment as well. The project has substantial investment by the City of Ramsey, but it will also generate a great deal of market value. In fact, $1.1 billion worth of value that will generate an additional $4 million of tax capacity annually. Obviously, there are obstacles with the project because it will require that substantial investment for such items as parking facilities, transportation corridors, land acquired for the transportation, a new municipal center, city hall, a community center, indoor winter park, and affordable housing projects. To do that, the city of Ramsey received advice from both financial consultants as well as our legal counsel that we should seek special legislation for Port Authority because one of the largest obstacles in front of us is debt limit. Obviously, we are receiving the revenues to pay for that, but the state limit on our debt is an obstacle. You have on the sheet handout explains a quick bullet by bullet of the Port Authority legislation. Of course, the economic development law was a response to frequent requests for the Port Authorities that were created in the 1980s. The EDA law deliberately gave fewer powers to the Port Authorities and became Port Authority light. Those powers under the Port Authority include, of course, such items as levy limit, a mandatory levy, geo bonds, but the provision that allows for bonding outside the city's debt limit, which is the key factor here. Obviously, there are such items as port facilities for Admiral Abler, as well as more powers outside development district, and the EDA has outside economic development district. These are the powers that the city of Ramsey needs to move on to the next stages of our development, and I stand for questions.
Questions for Mr. Norman. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My question, I was wondering if there was any eminent domain project.
It's a legitimate question, though.
Mr. Norman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the property is acquired. When I talk about property acquisitions, actually I was talking about the acquisition outside of the project area. There are some acquisitions along Highway 10. Highway 10 is an important corridor. It's the Highway 10 corridor. In fact, it's probably the fastest growing corridor in the state of Minnesota between Minneapolis and St. Cloud. One of the fastest growing corridors in the state, which is what Representative Abler has so often talk about when we talk about the North Star Development Corridor. There is a proposal to realign the highway. So we are acquiring properties right in the vicinity of the project. But we're doing those through a willing sellers through the RALF program.
That was the right answer.
Other questions for Mr. Norman? Representative Hodge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple questions. First, will the Port Authority have the power to levy?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Posh, yes, under the Port Authority, we would have the powers to have a levy. In fact, I believe it's a mandatory levy.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Posh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Along with the ability to levy, I see that you'll have the ability to issue GO bonds without a referendum. How is the makeup of the Port Authority going to be established?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hodge, I believe that's also spelled out in the Port Authority legislation, and it's I think it's a requirement of three representatives appointed by the City Council. If I might also follow up to that, your question on levy. Yes, the levy will be used to pay the debt service, so we'll be using it for our debt service.
Representative Hodge.
So my understanding is that the board or the majority of the proposed Port Authority would be unelected?
Mr. Norman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hodge. There would probably be a combination of elected officials from the City Council as well as a citizen member.
Thank you.
Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Is there any TIF dollars actually that would be involved with this project or not? And if so, would you explain a little bit about how that works with the Port Authority?
Mr. Norman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there would be very limited ability to use TIF in this district because there's very little redevelopment. This is a it started out as a farm field. So it's mostly development. Of course, we do have limits in what we can use TIF for. There may be use of housing TIF dollars. In fact, there will probably be a follow-up bill that will probably discuss that, but it probably will not be through the Port Authority. It will probably be done through the Housing Redevelopment Authority in the city. So we would not be using the Port Authority powers to work with the TIF.
Thank you, Mr.
Further discussion for the bill? Representative Abler, I don't want to have to bring this up. And you
might.
But I will.
You're the chair, Mr. Chair.
It doesn't matter. I'm just a member of this committee.
Okay.
But as a part of the discussion, I've struggled for a long time with the process on the North Star Commuter Rail train. And that is not the issue before this committee. But my question has to do with how viable this project is and how it will be if the train does not go through. I know we don't think the train will not go through. We think it will go through and will be approved. But how much does this project hinge on the North Star Commuter Rail train? And that's the issue I've raised with the train. And as I said, we're not here to belabor the points of the train. But the process about the train and not having agreements with Burlington Northern and so forth is a big issue. And I'm concerned about, now that I see this project seems to be, it's a transit-oriented development. I'm very familiar with what that means. And I'm wondering, what is this project, what does it mean to this project if the North Star Commuter Rail train does not go through? Mr. Norman.
Chairman Olson, I've been posed that question many times, and I always have to be careful on how I answer this question because the good folks who work very diligently on this project, like Representative Abler, as well as the good folks from the North Star Corridor Development Authority, are always a little queasy when I answer it. This project will go forward. This project will be successful with or without the rail station or without the rail. We have a market study that is very popular. Actually, this project is underway now. The first phase has opened. We've already seen a handout. You see a picture of the construction of both the city hall as well as the parking ramp. This project will go ahead. It will be successful with or without the rail. I know when I say that, I always raise concern from my friends from the North Star Corridor because they want it to go hand in hand. I guess the way I put it is the only thing the North Star does is it makes this project more sexy.
Yeah, I understand that. They're all going to wear orange hats like Representative Cornish, right? By the way, Representative Cornish, that's not why I recognized you earlier. It was your hand that got high enough that I saw you.
Oh, okay.
Had nothing to do with a hat. Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, I just thought I would provide a little perspective for you on that, too, and I think it's an excellent question you asked. Not in my district, but very close to my district is the very, very, as I look at this description, very similar project, the town center in St. Louis Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it is extraordinarily successful, I think beyond anyone's wildest imagination. And, there is a transit corridor involving buses on Excelsior Boulevard near there. It's a relatively busy transit corridor, but, you know, there are many busier ones in the region. And I think that this will, there's so much demand for this kind of housing and retail space, and it's so appealing that I think that I think you're absolutely right, because whether it works or not in terms of the North Star, I think this will be a success either way, certainly based on the experience we've seen in other parts of the region. So I just wanted to provide that perspective.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Abler.
Further comment. And having just inherited Ramsey in the last, the city of Ramsey in the last redistricting, I've gotten to know it pretty well. And as I door knocked a lot of the houses there, it's interesting how the people are in their views about development and whatnot. But this is definitely a development site poised to go. It's between Anoka and Elk River. Ramsey has literally no downtown kind of the turnovers would be down. There's a little gas station, a little liquor store, and there's just no downtown in Ramsey. And so this gives us some identity to the city. The council's behind it strongly. They've been pushing the whole thing. There's a North Star Motor Coach, Mr. Chair, which does go by here. And
yeah, my vote.
Yeah. But so I think to answer your question, the painted help. But either way, this is going to go big. And the census is up almost 4,000 in the city of 18,000, now 21,000 some since the census. We're up 5,000 since the census.
It's not my primary focus here to question the project per se, but the planning about the project, because the planning about North Star was on track, no pun intended, I would support it. I've had a standing compromise that I've offered from the beginning. I would support it. That being said, I flew to Portland to look at their system. They were listed, the Portland City was listed as the model city for Minnesota. And that's the city that we were modeling, and we literally were. And I rode on the track and I saw all kinds of transit-oriented developments boarded up, covered with plastic, been sitting there for years and they weren't working. Businesses had left some of them. And I asked, I said, why aren't these things working, even though you have the train stopping here and bringing people to and fro? And they said, too many people still use cars, and the businesses come in and find out that there's no parking in these transit-oriented developments because they're oriented to transit and oriented to people walking back and forth to the train, so they can't compete with the flow of traffic on the roads. And people gravitate to other locations more than they do here because it's only those on the train. And so my question is, if the train didn't go through, would you have sufficient parking in this community-oriented development to make it work?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norman.
Excellent point, excellent question. As I indicated earlier, the market studies we had, you're absolutely right. To build a development, a transit development, hoping that it will only this will only work if the trains ride the tracks, is nothing but a formula for failure. Our studies show that at best it could only probably provide somewhere between 3% and 5% more business from the ridership off the rail. That's certainly not enough to make a business work. Mm-hmm. Our market studies show that this project is going to work on its own. Representative Feinstein?
Yes,
from St. Louis Park is absolutely right. In fact, a nice piece of this project is we don't call it Excelsior Grand, we call it Sunwood Grand, because the main road that goes through this is Sunwood, so we stole the name. We've taken many trips to St. Louis Park and looked at that project. The second ramp, the first ramp is near completion. We've received funding for the second phase of the first ramp. There will be three ramps in the core area of this development. It is a it has a very large vertical scale. In other words, anywhere from 2 to 4 stories in the core of this project, similar to the St. Louis Park projects. There will be first floor retail with the second, third, and fourth floor residential surrounding the second parking ramp on our project, similar to the two first phases of the St. Louis Park project. But we do anticipate that the area in the core, it will be parking ramp accessible with very little surface parking ramp. As you go to the west, to the commercial area, The buildings do come up to the street, similar to the first phase of Arbor Lakes in Maple Grove, but the parking field is behind those buildings, just like the Maple Grove project. But we've done an excellent study on our parking. In fact, we've overstudied the parking.
Mr. Norman, I appreciate you letting us question the project in this respect. It's that part of it, to me, is a local decision, and I do respect that, but it's helpful to me to know you're considering these things, and given that I've seen so many fail in another city in particular anyway. And so I appreciate the liberty and tolerance in allowing us to ask those kinds of questions. Just as a note of reference, and I won't read it as I originally intended, because it really doesn't pertain directly. But I have a copy of a letter from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Transit Administration to Carol Molnar, Commissioner of Transportation. And the approval from the FTA on the North Star Commuter Rail is on a contingency. It is not an outright approval. And that should be noted for the record, because the advocates have been announcing that it's approved when in fact it is not. And there's some very serious contingencies in that approval that have to be met before they will get it. And so it's their intent to approve it if these things are met. And that's what the letter basically says. And given that that appeared to be so important to your project, I thought those concerns should be raised. Representative Abbott.
One further point to make you feel even better. Ramsey's was not one of the official stops. They are hoping to, if they build it, they will come to Ramsey in the second round of AB trains or whatever, that they could get a stop. And that may be a topic for further discussion at some point. But so just to know, Ramsey's not on the list. And so they're building all this, anticipating that they can get lucky someday. So just to help you feel better even more about not depending on the train.
Thank you. Any further discussion to the Sharon motion?
Peterson,
excuse me.
The Admiral.
The Admiral, oh yes. I didn't cross out that other name enough. Sorry. Question?
Yeah. I was just in front of
you. That's the word, well?
I'm not an Admiral, but it could be a PRT stop. Just thought I'd throw that out to you.
Ah. You got my vote now.
You can call up the computer graphics for pretty quick.
No pun intended, right? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Abel. The map here shows a transit node on this here. Is that for bus service, or what is it specifically designed to be, and is there parking involved with that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative.
Mr. Norman.
That is a combination. It is both, could be a future rail station, but it is also a bus. In fact, the Representative Abel just mentioned that there is a current express bus service called the North Star Commuter Coach that stops both in Elk River and in Coon Rapids. There is a CNAC grant that just went through the TAB yesterday, and there is funding now for two buses that will stop at that station right where you're pointing out. There'll be buses, there'll be express to downtown Minneapolis from that station stop.
Thank you.
Any further discussion to the Peterson motion for the Admiral's bill? Representative Peterson renews his motion that House Bill 3289 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The bill is passed and be sent to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Abler. Representative Sharon.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Representative Sharon moves that House Bill 3027 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Is that correct, Representative Sharon?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Chairman.
To your bill, Representative Sharon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. House File 3027 is, in effect, a technical correction to a bill that was passed in 2004. Essentially, that bill addressed the idea that, like it has for a constituent of mine, that if they have had a home in their family for a number of years, for generations, and in this particular case, when the original home was built, it conformed to all local ordinances, but since suffered a catastrophic fire, but over the years now, no longer, if it were to be built originally now, would not conform to uses. The law passed in 2004 that said that in cities and towns, if as long as you don't expand on the foundation, you can build again on the original foundation, like as it did in the past. At that time, we did not include counties when we passed the law, and it just so happens that I have a constituent who whose property falls now between the cracks. He has a cabin way up north, where the only jurisdiction is a county, wants to be able to rebuild his property, would not technically be able to because counties aren't specifically named in the ordinance, in the law.
Discussion. Questions.
You want to talk about your will some more?
No. No. Fire. Fire.
Representative Winchester.
I should clarify then for the committee if there's a silence and a vote. For those of us who opposed it for the cities, I'm also opposed for the county. So, not personal. Never supported the other thing.
No problem.
Any further discussion? He's a member of this committee. Are you guys going to let him off that easy?
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to let themselves off easy.
Representative Sharon renews his motion that House Bill 3027 be recommended to pass and be read and sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay?
No.
Nobody said anything.
The motion prevails.
No, let's go to division. My ear says no.
That seemed pretty close. You calling division?
Yeah.
Okay. Division being requested. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hands. Those against the motion. There being 7-4 and 6 against, the motion prevails, and the bill will be passed and sent to the General Register. I thought the no's were a little louder. Remember what I said yesterday? Try to keep the tone the same.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Sharon. Representative Yaros has pulled his bill, asked that he not be heard. So, Representative Hornstein, I understand you're going to do Representative Holbrook's bill in the respect of her absence. Representative Hornstein moves that House Bill 3285 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Is that right, Representative Hornstein?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hornstein, through the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a housekeeping bill for the Met Council. Basically, in the past, the Met Council as a regional entity had some jurisdiction over schools and school districts. That has been already partially taken away by the legislature, and appropriately so, and this basically just completes the process. I have Mr. Shetman from the Met Council here who can give you a very brief overview. This is pretty straightforward, and I'll just call on Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Shetman, welcome to the committee.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Judge Shetman. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Met Council, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. I appreciate Representative Hornstein stepping in here to take up the bill between him and Representative Holberg. They generally carry our housekeeping bills every year, this year being the same. What I have before you is a bill that cleans up some obsolete language that, to be honest with you, we at the Met Council missed back in 2003 when the legislature repealed the authority for the council to do comp plan reviews over the for metropolitan school districts. So all we're doing is asking to come back and clean up the statute to make sure that there's no confusion as to whether or not we have this authority or not, and it is should be extremely non-controversial.
Discussion. Representative Strong.
Can't miss a chance. I just want to make sure I get this right. The Met Council is asking for less authority.
Mr. Chair and members, we are actually asking for clarification because we actually asked for less authority back in 2003. The legislature granted that.
Yeah.
And now what we are doing is to clarify some language, just clean it out of the books to make sure that there's no confusion as to whether or not we think we have more authority than we really have.
I'm not sure if I got an answer.
The answer is yes.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Seeing no further discussion. Representative Hornstein renews his motion that House Bill 3285 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The bill will be passed and sent to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Yep.
Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Announcements. We could just take a couple minutes.
We have two.
That's all we have on the agenda. Pardon? No fire?
Go for it.
Okay.
Let me hold you up.
There's an amendment here. Representative Vandeveer has been working diligently for his bill, and you all should have received an amendment so that you aren't caught by surprise. There should be an amendment in your stack somewhere. He has worked to, and have received confirmation, I think, from the League of Cities, I was told. Do you know about it, Representative Markworth? Because I have not been a part of it.
Maybe.
Are you familiar with Representative Lanning?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think Representative Vandeveer should get an award for his persistence. He has talked with the League of Cities. The person he's talked with is out of town, and I think we'll be back on Monday. It would be my recommendation, if this is going to be brought up or reconsidered, that we put it on the agenda as such so that the League representative can be here to confirm, in fact, that they are okay with this or whatever their position might be. I can't speak for them. I understand there has been conversation there, and Representative Vandeveer has narrowed down his bill. But I still believe that, given the concerns that were expressed by others, that we ought to give others notice and give them an opportunity to say in front of the committee that they're okay with this language.
He was here earlier, Representative Lanning. I can't state that. I had understood from him that he has a letter from them stating that this language is acceptable.
I have not seen the letter.
I have not seen it.
I don't
either.
Believe there is a letter, because Mr. Carlson, I think, would have told me if...
Okay.
If there was.
And that's great. It's not...
Is there a letter?
Okay.
Ms. Finn would...
Then I misunderstood, because I'm not meaning to misrepresent anything.
Okay.
It's not my intention to move this. I learned that I missed somebody who was intending to move it, and I didn't realize I missed them when they were going to make the motion and we got into another bill. And they're now gone. And I'm just talking about it so that... because it's been handed out and everybody should know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if somebody else had intentions of doing anything with it or not. If nobody does, then we're going to go on. But we know that it's been being worked on. Representative Vandeveer is being very diligent on this. And it's an important issue, I believe, for us with regard to annexation, to consider and be attentive to what's happening on it. Because he is showing the pressure that I think he's feeling in trying to address this. So... I wanted to bring it to your attention and to make sure that if there was somebody here to intending to do something with it, that we could do it. Representative Lanning.
Mr. Chairman, if someone does intend to ask us to reconsider, I would respectfully request that they ask that to be on the agenda so that people can have notice that this is coming back.
That's a fair request, Representative Lanning. That's the reason I brought it up. But as you know, members can make that motion at any time, and but that's why I'm making sure people know about it, so that there's no unnecessary surprise. With that, Monday, I was discussing with authors of annexation bills about the possibility of putting a couple on the agenda for discussion purposes only, in an effort to move the negotiations forward. The eminent domain, as you know, issue has taken our time so much. My desire and my goal was to take the goals, it's getting put into language now, some of them, and go to each member and see if we have support for a committee bill and see if we could formulate one in that way. Time has not permitted that, so I thought on Monday
just trying to shift gears and still meet our goal. I thought on Monday we'd bring up a couple bills, let a city, an author representing the cities and an author representing the townships present ideas from their bill and talk about some of these proposed compromise language. And the authors that I've spoken to have asked that they not have their bills on the agenda, and we just simply discuss annexation for a little bit. We will have some annexation language to look at, and we'll use that committee time to discuss it, introduce it, and make it public in an effort to see if we can't come up with something. And doing this, my hope is that the cities and townships will come together and we will get something, or we will go forward with a committee bill. So it's kind of a multi-pronged approach, but it's about communicating to those negotiating that we need to take action. We've invested how many hours? I need to go back to last year and total it up, but it's a lot of hours, two tours across the state, half the committee budget, and we've had years and years and years of this issue being wrestled with. And if the committee decides we're not going to deal with it and you vote everything down, that's your prerogative. But as I've discussed it with members, my sense is we want to do something about it and hopefully get it off our plate so we can deal with other issues. So if everybody's amenable to that, we're going to put it on the agenda for Monday with a couple other bills. We'll maybe just spend an hour presenting the language that we have, that some of which is very close to an agreement. Some city representatives, I understand, are very close to that, and the townships are very close to that as well. I'm told a variety of things, so I don't know exactly how to present it because I'm hearing a variety of things. But I do see movement, and I think the language is worth our discussion. Representative Sharon.
Now, I'm not sure if I have a complete understanding of what you're talking about, but I think I do. So correct me if I'm wrong. But it seems like they're getting close, and I'm wondering if we can allow them the time to completely iron out and get closer rather than coming in and talking about incomplete ideas that they might be still not quite together on, and it might, before they really had a chance to compromise. There's a reason for why I'm asking this beyond that, because I think that is a good idea. In deference to some of our outstate members, I'm wondering if there's any of tomorrow's agenda that could, or all, that could be moved to Monday so that they can...
Since
we do have an opening on our agenda, it sounds like we have some open time on Monday. I'm living in the Twin Cities, so it's not as big a burden to me. But
Representative Schroen, I've already dropped the bills, seeing that very concern. I've already dropped the bills of members that are outstate.
Oh,
so those members don't need to be here?
Mm.
The original agenda for tomorrow was 4.5 hours. After I dropped those bills, two members came up to me and pulled their bills.
Mm.
So the agenda is getting shorter, and that will backfill into Monday. And my sense is we need to move forward on annexation and at least present the language what we have.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to do with the hour on Monday is use that time to do what I described earlier here, is instead of being able to go to every member, we'll present it to the committee and you give us a sense for what you think of it. We'll take testimony on the language, hear the concerns from the cities and the townships, and we will discuss as a committee, and if members want to make a motion that we take the language presented on Monday and put it into a committee bill, I'll entertain that motion, and that will start the process of creating a committee bill. So we'll just have 1 hour on it. We'll have that kind of discussion. We'll hear from the cities and townships, and that kind of a motion would create a committee bill after we hear their testimony. And if they aren't working on this totally in earnest and wanting to push this to the end, if we act in that way, I think it will help play things out. If we wait, I'm afraid we're going to get to the last hour like we did last year, and I feel an obligation as the chair of the committee to try not to allow that to happen. That's why I want to have, at least have a discussion on Monday.
You, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sharon.
Thank you. And I do appreciate that where you're coming from. I'm wondering, is there enough of the agenda left for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or is there small enough that we could move it to Monday?
is what I'm asking, because I'd hate to have people come in for an hour tomorrow when they could have gone home tonight.
Yeah. I will check that in the next... is it acceptable that I... Well, I got to go to GovOps, but we will check that. Is everybody going to their office here for a little bit?
I will if it means I'm coming back.
Mr. Chair, you're aware that I'm pulling my bill, right?
Yes. Okay. That's one of them.
How many
did you have that?
How many are left?
Yeah, how many are left?
Do you have the list?
We could have done Larry Howes's one.
There's six left.
For me, six left?
There's six left.
Okay.
Can we bring Larry Howes back?
No, Mr. Chair, I just have a question, and maybe the outstate members could answer it, but just because they pulled their bills and maybe won't be here, it just seems like we're not Minnesota. I mean, why would we just have metro area people addressing metro area bills and the outstate people not having an opinion on those bills?
Representative Scalzi, I'm referring to the office of the bills that we're presenting.
Right.
Representative Solberg.
Committee members.
I'm not talking about committee members.
Well, if they pull their bills, are they going to be here anyway?
No. People don't.
Okay. Rather than make somebody like Lauren Silberg from all the way up north Minnesota, we're committed to give him a hearing on the bill.
Sure.
We'll put it on next week when he's here anyway, and rather than keep him here on Friday. That's what I did. And Representative Lanny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for everyone's information, I think I can speak for Representative Nelson on this as well. Both of us have worked on this annexation issue today again. And the townships and the cities are working. They're making progress. They're going to be meeting here now over the next few days, continuing their meetings. And so Monday we should be able to get a progress report from both parties, just so you're all aware of it.
And if they don't, we'll have the other language. And that's the dual-prong approach that I'm trying to follow. And I've told them, I said, at any time, if you guys come to an agreement, we'll just drop the committee bill. Or at least the committee knows about it, and the committee will vote which way the committee wants to go.
And I have another question,
yep,
Mr. Chair, regarding Representative Lanning's comments before. Would you reiterate what you said regarding the Vanderveer bill, if we bring it up for reconsideration and invite the other people in?
I've always advocated as much openness as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Vanderveer was here. There was, and I apologize, the person isn't here, but I didn't realize I was being called upon him. They were going to make a motion tonight. You all have the language.
Mm-hmm.
I highlighted it so you can see the language and have a chance to look at it and not get caught necessarily by surprise. As I go through this process, I now have two rule changes that I'm going to recommend if, God willing, I'm ever in this position again. And one is to have a notice when there's a motion to reconsider. And the other is, well, I won't get into it now, but fire Noel. But I'm making notes of that, and that's one. And that's why I'm highlighting this. This was handed out. It was going to be a motion tonight. I didn't call on the person because I didn't realize that was being, hands were going up. And so you have the language. You can look at it, so nobody will be surprised. They have a right to make the motion at any time, and I don't want to deter that right. So... I believe members have changed their vote. If we're all here, it's going to pass. I'm told those votes are there. And Representative Vanderveer deserves this full hearing. And
right.
Representative Scalzi.
Then my question is, will there be a motion to reconsider that you're aware of?
I am aware that there will be a motion to reconsider.
Because anybody on the committee can make that motion.
That is correct, Representative Scalzi.
So why wouldn't we make it now? I guess I'm not following.
Because Representative Vanderveer isn't here, and I don't know if all the votes are here.
Okay, so I see.
We could try it.
So we just want to wait and notify people. It may take some time. I mean, that's all I'm getting.
I've told people, if you're going to do this, I mean, if you come to me, can we do it? Well, of course you can do it. Any one of you can do it. You don't have to ask my permission to do this. It's nice that I know about it, and I feel everybody should know about it. And they already have the votes. I'm told that members have switched their vote. I've appealed to them, please count your votes, and let's not go through it twice.
Sure.
Let's make sure we're here, and let's decide, and let's do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Concerns?
You say it.
Okay. Tomorrow morning at 9. Now, let me hold it. Before we go. Yeah. We got 6 bills? Okay.
Tomorrow, what's that?
Okay, the objective is, I think, going to be realized unless we get a load of bills on Monday. The objective was that when we get to the end, we won't be going into the night when you have all these other meetings. Okay? Is that still an acceptable agenda? That's the reason we're meeting tomorrow. Is that still acceptable? Would members rather have tomorrow off and have some nights? I'm tired of nights.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sharon.
My fear is that we're going to have the nights anyway.
Yeah, mine too. Annexation may take us time.
So are we meeting tomorrow, and what is the
time? We're meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. The agenda will be shorter than what was sent out.
Okay.
So it will probably be done, we'll be done before noon.
Representative Hornstein did share with me that he's willing to bring donuts and coffee tomorrow. That's why I went over there. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
The whole wheat organic kind from South
Africa. Hey.
No,
I can buy that. All right. Thank you, members, very much. Meeting adjourned.